Good morning. As I said today, the gospel is challenging. All the readings are challenging when it comes down to it. And today, after the homily, we're going to give our confirmands, those going to give the Word of God. And the reason we're going to do that is so that the Word of God is that which forms their life. To start them off, that's why they'll have their own Bible, they'll have it for the rest of their life, if they can use it, and they will, all the days of their life. And so then they go to God and find out what God says about life, not what Oprah says, not what other people say, not what people's opinion are, not what Times Newsweek poll says, but what God says. So we begin there. And we begin with what God says. And God says in the very beginning, after saying, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. He made every creation. Every time he created something, he said, it is good. But now today is where we get the first not good. And he says, it is not good that the man should be alone. So the first thing we got to acknowledge today is that it is divine will. It is the will of God that we are not alone. Some people, including me, love to be that lone ranger and try to do it ourselves. But God says it's not good. That isn't what I want. Again, Jesus went against that when he sent the disciples out. How? Two by two. So it's not good for celibates, it's not good for married, it's not good for singles, it's not good for anybody to be alone. So first we got to go there. This is what God says. It's not good. But then what we do after that is that God fixes the problem. He brings to man all the animals. So it's God that starts fixing it. Now after God says something's not good, he says, okay, I got to fix it. And so he brings to man all the animals, and none of those work. And so he goes, okay, now I know. And he puts him into a deep sleep. And out of him, from his very being, he creates a new person, woman. And he said, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Huh? This one will be called woman. So it's God himself, from the decree of God in the beginning, who makes us fit together. Because he comes from the same being. And so what God is calling us to is that community, that unity. And so when we get there, it's a thing for life. That when two people get married and they become one flesh. Now, as of today, so was it way back then when Jesus was around. They're talking and talking about divorce. Now, Jesus, of course, doesn't go around the subject. He deals with it right up front. And so often, as I go around, people are always saying, hey, Father, when is the church going to get up with the times? When are you going to change this whole thing on divorce and remarriage? Come on, Father. The church has got to get up on its times or it's going to lose everybody. And when do you think the church is going to do that? Never. Because to do that would be spit in God's face. It would be going against the founder of the church. Jesus, you know, you're kind of old-fashioned. This staying together for life is just not possible. Jesus, we have needs. And those needs got to be fulfilled. And God says, nope, you're to fulfill the needs of the other. That's how it's called to be. That what it's going to call, is it going to take, is suffering. Suffering. You know, when Jesus was coming, that second beautiful reading, he said that he might taste death for who? For us. He tasted death for us. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. That God left heaven, if you will, and tasted death for us. And he suffered for us. And anyone that's been married knows it entitles suffering. Because you got to go against your own will. Isn't that hard? Yes. Of course it's hard. And it's not just for married people. It's for priests. I have to go against my will. You know, I'm watched by every single person every moment of every day. It goes against my will. And so I got to sit there and know that I'm not here by myself. You're not here by yourself. But we have to do a little teaching first before I get into the rest of the homily. The teaching on marriage. Marriage, by definition, is between a man and a woman. Period. Second, the man and a woman, when they come together, they take vows before God until death do us part. Sorry if you don't like that. That's what people say. You take them until death. Now, to be married in the Catholic Church, to be officially married in the church, you must get married in front of a priest or with the permission of the church. So, if you're Catholic and you go get married by a JP or a minister, you're not married. You must get married in the Catholic Church to be married. Or if you're marrying someone that's not Catholic, you can get permission to get married in their church, but you need to get a dispensation from the church. So, marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's for life. It has to be done in the rules of the church. Now, we all realize, let's say someone gets divorced. Is that person excommunicated? No. They're against the will of God because God says he hates divorce, is what the Word of God says. But sin is sin and you need to repent of it and deal with it. So a person who gets divorced is not excommunicated from the church. Are they able to receive communion? Yes. No different than anybody else. So sometimes, again, in me dealing with people, they say, Father, I was excommunicated. Why were you excommunicated? I got divorced. You weren't excommunicated. Well, someone told me I was. Well, they were wrong, huh? You are not excommunicated if you get divorced. Now, the problem is if you get divorced and remarried without permission of the church, which means the annulment process. Because what happens is when two people come together and they say before God, I will stay with you until death do us part. That's what you say. Now, my mother's been married 3 times. We are fully aware that life is not as black and white as we want it to be. That people are human beings. So what happens though, you got to come back to the community though, and the community will try to fix it, just like God does. It's not good for the man to be alone. Let's try to fix it. So the church doesn't expel people. It says you got to come back to the community, and we as a community are going to deal with this. We're going to help you. And the problem is, some people say, I don't need help, I'll do it myself. That's called sin. That we find salvation in the community of the church. And so God says it's not good to be alone. We need to come together. We need to let the Word of God influence our life, control our life, shape our life. And then we need to, when we fall and we do things, we need the community of the church to come together and say, okay, now help me. So that's the second thing. So that's the little marriage thing. I want to put that aside. But I got to teach every once in a while because I don't think people get it sometimes. What do I have to do? That's a teaching. So if you listen, God brings all these people to the man for him not to be alone. What does this mean for us? It means that when God brings people into our life, that we accept them. Huh? And sometimes we don't have to be super nice to everybody, but we got to accept them. And so sometimes someone will come in and let's say, we're going to be putting this new website together. And right on the website, the first thing you're going to see is everybody's welcome into the community of this church. Doesn't mean for you, it doesn't matter your sexual orientation, it doesn't matter on your marital status, it doesn't matter with any of those things. We accept everybody. That's what it's going to say, because that's the teaching of the church. But then, we will not leave you where we find you. We will take you deeper to the call of holiness. So everybody's welcome, but just because they're welcome does not mean that we okay everything a person does. It means sometimes we're going to have to sit there and say, okay, you're going to need to repent now, and you're going to have to do what God wants you to do. Well, I don't think I like that. Well, but we want you to go to heaven. It's not good to be alone. Come into the community, and we will help you. It won't be easy, but we will help you. And so what we need to do is when God brings us people, we need to meet them where they're at, but not keep them there. We accept them where we are, but we don't leave them there. And so when God brings all these people, sometimes God will bring people into your life that you don't want to be there. Trust me on that one. But the reality is God brought them there, and our job is to treat them as we want Christ, or the way God commands us to treat them. Second, that then after we do that, then we got to do, what did God do? He left heaven. It's a wonderful thing, because when you go back to that Old Testament, God sat there and said, it's not good for the man to be alone, but they really weren't alone. God was with them. But then he became one of us to be with us. We need to be people that invite others into this community, especially as we spend time in this month of October, that we're inviting people to come to know God. There are so many people that live lives of quiet desperation because they're lonely. You know people that are lonely. You know people that are alone. What can you do? You can reach out to them and bring them home. God lets you know them so you can go out of your way, reach out, and bring them home. So please, it's God's will that we're not alone. It's God's will that marriage is a lifetime commitment, and when things don't work, that you come back to the community and let the community help you with it. It's God's will that we accept the people He brings into our life. We meet them where they are, but we don't leave them where they are. And it's God's will that we invite people into this relationship. The people that are living quiet lives of desperation and loneliness, we invite them to come to the true life of Christ, the community of the church. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? Good. May you know His love today and forever. Amen.